CKLN 88.1 FM, licensed by the Canadian Radio, Television and Telecommunications Commission to broadcast in stereo at 88.1 MHz on the FM band. CKLN is owned and operated by CKLN Radio Incorporated, which is located at Ryerson University within the Student Campus Center in Toronto, Canada.
At the time of license application, CKLN filed a comprehensive promise of performance with the Commission, and within that document made specific commitments to its operations and programming. The license issued by the CRTC requires CKLN to honor these commitments made in the promise of performance and to comply with the FM radio broadcasting regulations.
A copy of the license with the promise of performance and conditions of licensing is available for inspection by any member of the public at the offices of the Commission and at the offices of CKLN during business hours. Radio frequencies are public property in Canada. CKLN invites your comments and inquiries.
Our mailing address is 55 Gould Street, Toronto, Ontario, postal code M5B1E9, phone number 416-979-5251.
Thank you for tuning in to CKLN 88.1 FM, and good morning.
Why won't they tell me to please? And good morning, CKLN listeners.
You know, a lot of girls be...
It is the 19th day of July, 2010. You are listening to CKLN's Rude Awakening Morning News Show. This is your host, BK, a.k.a. Black Krishna. Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, as well as Monday evenings. This evening on Monday's Word of Mouth, I'm going to have the venerable Victor Fletcher, the Frank Conspiracy Sinatra of Toronto, who's got a ton of tales about this city that you won't hear anywhere else because he's an old-fashioned journalistic muckraker. I've been publishing the Toronto Street News now going into its 11th or 12th year, I believe, putting over $1 million into the pockets of the homeless. So do tune in tonight because Victor says some crazy stuff. And yet he's never been sued, and yet he's been going at, you know, the military-industrial complex, the secret society complex, the New World Order complex, and, yeah, a whole bunch of complex things. And so that's tonight at 7 o'clock. But here at 6:13 a.m., I got to get into this show because this show's crazy. Started off the show with Guns N' Roses, the new Guns N' Roses, I should say, the song Prostitute by Axl and his boys. Ask yourself what I would do to, or what I should do to prostitute myself. And today I'm going to talk about, well, a little bit of God, a little bit of guys, a little bit of guns, a little bit of girls, a little bit of porn, and definitely our socialization, because I know here Toronto is among the centers for sex trafficking and for pornography. You know, we're right up there with you know, Las Vegas and California, and that puts us in a weird spot, because you know, here, you know, there's been such a push for so many years to say, oh, it's cool, it's great, I'm into that, I'm cool enough to accept that, I'm open-minded, and sometimes the problem with being open-minded is people can put all sorts of crap in there. So, you know, am I against being open-minded? No. But am I against your inability to shut it once in a while? Sure. Yeah, I'll cop to that. And I'll cop to the fact that that I'd rather have my own mind to close at will than one that that needs to remain open for political correctness' sake. And I also know that people out there are going to go, oh, you know, there might be people, it's 6:14 in the morning. You know, you can crawl back. You can shut off this radio right now. You don't need to hear this crap. You know, why should I pick on porn? Why am I picking on porn? Well, it's interesting. When people think that, they generally, they're only thinking of themselves. You know, they're really only thinking of themselves. And I'm not trying to make anybody cry or anything this morning. but here on the 19th of July, 2010, I found this interesting phenomena where, you know, if I say that I'm, you know, attacking the porn industry because of the New World Order, the establishment, the system, the big corporations behind it, which even Diane Sawyer, you know, on ABC News in a special I saw last night, referenced briefly, said that there were big corporations at the top of the porn food chain making money off this. And that was very briefly in a special from the mid-90s. Might have been mid-90s. Anyway, so I'm watching a ton of porn stars yesterday. I got to be honest with you. Here am I, I'm dissing porn. I'm watching a ton of porn stars. But I'm watching them, by and large, being emotionally naked as opposed to physically naked in this particular, you know, instance of research yesterday. Because I haven't stumbled upon a couple of things in the great work of Shelley Lubin, Shelleylubben at thepinkcross.org. And as I fly through all these crazy thoughts here on porn and what goes on, you know, here's the context. The New World Order, you know, the powers that be evil, the establishment at the top of the pyramid, you know, former European nobility, super rich, bloodthirsty kings and queens found each other sexy, intermarried, and colonized the world. And that's why you'll get, you know, the Queen of England, her family's half German, because that was a match of the white Anglo-Saxon nobility and the Prussian nobility. And those two families said, wow, we want to take over even more of the world, so let's click up and let's make sure our genes and our bloodlines are psychopathically pure enough to keep this whole world domination thing going, should we ever want to pass it on to our kids. So it's a lovely thought. Now, in the beginning, in the late 1800s, you know, they developed a plan to sort of push communism in the East, in Russia, and a sort of consumerism, capitalism in the West. And then about this time, about 70 years, you know, after, you know, World War II or so, you know, there's supposed to be a merger into the third way, a mixture of communism and capitalism, kind of like the Chinese model. Now, what a lot of people don't know about communism is that communism actually promoted, you know, free love and sex. But they did it because they wanted to make it seem like it wasn't special, like you weren't special, like the bond between you and your husband or wife wasn't special, and that you were all individualized, atomized products to be used by the state, who would decide what the greater good of your existence was. And so, you know, that was one of their goals. And so they promoted a lot of sex, and they were anti-religion, they were atheistic, and they were also fairly asexual, and they also pushed women to do a lot of things. You know, women are just as strong as men, women are just this as men. And men started to feel like, hey, what the hell? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. Like, I'm cool with women doing what they want, but God damn it, I want to feel like a man. And women used to help me do that, but, you know, not anymore, now that they're, you know, they're feeling like men. And so this is all pushed by them. And again, all the individual communist Canada caveats, you know, do whatever the hell you want. But these are the larger social memes that were engineered. And they also promoted promiscuity, because they know the more sexual partners you have at a young age, the less likely you are to bond and get married. And that would mean that you're individuals, and you, men would no longer fight for their family, and you can all be talked to and dictated to by the state. Plus, you'll have less kids, and that fulfills their depopulation agenda, where they want to take down the population of the planet, and on and on and on. But there's many typical cases right out there. I'm going to go to a clip from the Tyra Banks show, though, because that's a lot of energy, before getting into some of Ms. Lubin's work and others. This is Tyra Banks talking about teen prostitutes and talking to one from September 2007. She got into this when she was 14. And, yeah, a cute baby's face kid. Shame, but good that she got out. Now what? Sorry about that. Apparently, this isn't working. All right. So we'll try this again. We're having some issues here. This hard drive is apparently not large enough to hold anything. Nope. Even though I deleted everything. All right. You know what? I got another idea. I talk all this mess about porn here, and so. What the hell? There we go. And it's hard to do. It's hard to do in this culture. But you know, I remember guys doing the same thing and saying, you know, they wouldn't give up 24, you know, for example. Yeah, even though they knew it was that's not here either. Yeah, great. Ah, that's better. Sorry, folks. Just getting into the show here. And people would tell me that I want to watch 24 anyway, and they'd find some way to justify it, even though they knew it was pretty conclusively linked to torture, and to the idea of legitimizing and normalizing torture. And it's the same thing with pornography. And I know, you know, dudes tell me that you know, some guys have masturbation stations straight out of some, you know, guy flick, you know, where they've got a whole little area set up so they can do this, so they can watch porn. And they're never really understanding that these women are actresses. They're acting for their livelihood. And I'll give you an example here. The most famous porn star in the world is arguably Jenna Jameson. And here at this website called antipornography.org, these are all from either a CNN interview in August 27, 2004, or from her book. So this is Anderson Cooper, or C.I. Anderson Cooper, as I like to call him, because Radar Online exposed him as having done a two-year summer internship at the CIA back when he was at Yale University, a famous Skull and Bones and Secret Society factory, or Secret Society agent factory, as it were. So C.I. Anderson Cooper, Anderson Cooper on CNN, says on August 27, 2004, and if your daughter one day said to you, if you had a daughter, if she came to you and said that she wanted to get into that industry, Jameson, this is Jenna Jameson, I'd tie her in the closet. Only because it's such a hard industry for a woman to get ahead and get the respect that she deserves. I fought tooth and nail to get where I am, and it's not something that I would want my daughter to go through. It's not something that any parent would choose for their child. Cooper, so you advise young women not to get involved in the industry? Jameson, not unless they had their head on completely straight and they knew that this is what they wanted to do. For my child, hey, I want them to go to college and be a doctor. And then there's her autobiography, How to Make Love Like a Porn Star, A Cautionary Tale, which these folks recommend, you know, for everybody out there to understand, you know, what the most famous and successful porn star in the world has to say about the business. When she's got no, you know, she's got no reason to lie. You know, there's absolutely no reason for her to lie. Like, it's just, you know, she's made it. She could take the money. But, you know, okay, hold on a second. All right, this should work. So I'm going to read a couple of quotes, and then I'm going to go to a short clip of former porn star Jersey Jackson, actually named Tanya, talking about how Jenna called out, they named the Lifetime Achievement Awards after Jenna Jameson at the Adult Video Network Awards. And then when she went up to accept it, she crapped all over porn and said, you know, this is horrible. No, it's all a big illusion and a big lie, and the whole award show was stunned. So these people have more integrity than most people I know. And there's discussions about why aren't more Christian organizations like Shelley Lubin's The Pink Cross .org, you know, lending these women a hand. You know, what is the deal with this situation? But nonetheless, here's a couple of clips from Jenna Jameson. And so it began. I woke up at 5 in the morning and got to the studio by 7 for makeup. If I weren't so young, my face would have looked like hell after all the sleep deprivation. Suze, her manager, I realized, is also a shark. Her specialty is naive young girls, much like myself. Once she sank her teeth into me, she didn't let go. She shot me until I was half dead. For the girls who get penetrated in every hole in their first film, it's a physical and mental overload. And before you even get into it, realize it's not that easy to have sex with strangers in front of other people. When you're having sex, you're most vulnerable. Only a handful of women look good having sex. Everyone has a little cheese here and there. At the very least, most girls have to battle eating disorders from seeing themselves jiggling naked on camera so much. And because of exposure on the set, you're swapping fluids. Your body's constantly fighting colds and flus. You get sick. You get run down.
One of the things I kind of wonder about is people like Jenna Jameson, Tracy Lords, people that have made a huge name for themselves, have millions of dollars. How do girls like that separate themselves between everybody? I mean, you know what I'm saying? How does somebody become a huge star and not be thrown in the dumpster like half these girls do? I mean, how does that work? Do you know?
The companies that they signed for at the beginning, what they were willing to do at the beginning. But see, like Tracy Lords, she doesn't do porn anymore. She's actually mainstream acting. Jenna Jameson at the AVN Awards got on stage after they named the Lifetime Achievement Award, after got on stage and point blank said, I will never fucking spread my legs in front of the camera for anybody ever again.
Hallelujah. Fuck yeah.
I mean, and she hasn't done it for over a year. The ones that were being put out were ones that were before then. And that's why they were harping on her about her relationship and how she lived and stuff, because she refuses to be that piece of meat and be treated that way. She wants to only give herself and her love to her man.
I met Jenna.
When she said that, they were like, holy shit. Oh my God, what the hell did she just say? They didn't know what to do. And even when someone came up, when the female, Stormy, came up to get her award, she really was kind of taken aback, didn't know what to say except, thank you.
Well, that's kind of the cool thing, because she's made millions, she's a big fucking name, and now she's got the clout to jerk the rug out from under, you know. It's really kind of cool to see that.
And we're back, CKLN listeners. Again, that was Jersey Jackson from the interview on what the hell is the show? The Best of Hair Radio from April 27, 2008. And I tried to find, and I did find some new clips, and I'm trying to play some clips here, just having some minor technical difficulties this morning that I'll play through. But the bottom line is that, you know, you can hear, and I do apologize for the swearing on the host's behalf. And so on, but many of these girls often came from you know, quote unquote broken homes, and so you're watching basically, you know, women out there being abused, reliving some of that abuse, and trying to take control over that abuse, as some psychologists have speculated, where, you know, if they do it and they say they want to do it, then, you know, they can get some power from it. But at the end of the day, it does end up burning them out. And so, you know, it's important to note that. Why is this important? Well, I don't know. You tell me. You know, if we got too much porn, we got too many hoes. If it wasn't so much porn, it wouldn't be a problem. And if the industry wasn't controlled by sadistic nut jobs, it wouldn't be a problem here. But yeah, here you go. There are times when I wish the industry had a union, because the shooting schedules are inhumane. It generally takes a good 3 weeks to shoot even the crappiest independent film. We do it in 1 to 6 days. And in order to succeed, there are 25 reasons, and there are a few points behind them each. One of the most frustrating things about the film work was that the producers never wanted me to put me on box covers. They all said my breasts were too small. My boobs were certainly big enough for all the men who stared at them every time I left the house, but they weren't big enough by porn standards. Just like at the Crazy Horse Strip Club, the girls with the monster silicone got all the attention. So yeah, you're constantly competing on that level to be celebrated like that. But you know what? I'd rather you hear it from the ex-porn star's mouth. This is ex-porn star Shelley Lubin testifying at the California State Capitol. Recently, actually, you know what? I'm going to do this in 2010. There we go. So this is the truth behind the fantasy behind porn. This is her presenting at Capitol Hill for sponsored by the Coalition for the War on Illegal Pornography from June 15th, 2010, just a month ago.
A truthful look at the porn industry and what really goes on behind the scenes. In my research, which you can find some of it on the back table there, as well as from the very mouths of the ones who make pornography, I have learned that 66% of porn performers have herpes, a non-curable disease. Chlamydia and gonorrhea among performers is 10 times higher than Los Angeles County 20 to 24-year-olds. 25 cases of HIV have been reported among porn performers since 2004. These are just some of the negative secondary effects of the porn industry. Since 2000, there have been 23 suicides and 30 drug-related deaths in the porn industry. Los Angeles County Health Department recently reported 70% of sexually transmitted infections that occur happen in females. I'm one of those females. As a survivor of the porn industry, I contracted human papillomavirus and herpes, a non-curable disease, which later led to my battle with cervical cancer, where I had to have half of my cervix removed. I also battled with severe anemia due to the hemorrhaging I experienced for 12 years. In fact, I'm still battling with damages to my reproductive organs. I have suffered much at the hands of the porn industry. But after 8 long, hard years of recovery, and by the grace of God Almighty, I escaped that hell, and today I'm here, a mom of 3 beautiful daughters, married to a wonderful man, a godly man who stuck by me in my horrible recovery. I had the perfect life. I want you all to know that the last thing I want to do, people, is talk about porn. But my compassion for those people who are in modern-day slavery right now, I was overwhelmed, and so I went back to the industry, and I began to reach out to them. And, of course, I've been called every name in the book, you can imagine. But that didn't stop me, and I founded Pink Cross Foundation, a nonprofit organization that reaches out to adult industry workers, offering help, a way out, education, friendship. We go to the porn conventions, we go to nightclubs, and heck, I've even sang porn star karaoke to them. You know what I discovered? They have the same stories I do, some of them far worse. Some of the acts of violence and abuse in the porn industry include verbal and physical abuse on the set. I have been hit, spit on, penetrated everywhere you can imagine, told to sit still or pose still while every orifice of my body and hands are engaging 5 to 6 male performers. And I've been totally humiliated on the set where they had to stop the scene, and I didn't even know what was going on, and they had to wipe up feces. I basically checked out and died. Porn star Jersey Jackson made this shocking statement about her experience in porn. Guys, punching you in the face, you have semen all over your face, you get ripped, it's never ending. Porn star Reagan Starr describes in an interview with Talk Magazine, while sex acts were performed on her, she was hit and choked until she couldn't breathe. Women are also forced into sex acts they did not agree to, including prostitution. Porn stars are prostitutes. We make a lot more money and do a lot less work. Okay? You can go to all over the internet and find their websites where the girls are making $2,500 an hour. They hate making porn. At least with prostitution, we get a dinner sometimes. Although prostitution is still horrible, the porn industry is the worst. Pornographers, who are also drug traffickers, offer performers drugs and alcohol. In fact, the local doctors are in conspiracy, and yes, I know your names, and they prescribe Xanax, Vicodin, Valium to drug-addicted, young, naive women and men. I know because I've held one in my arms who overdosed recently on 21 Vicodin. And don't think for a second that I don't go through her medicine cabinet and find out who the doctors are. Don't think for a second that these women and men aren't telling me everything. Alcohol and drugs are so rampant in the porn industry that women have to have drivers because they're so wasted all the time. In fact, they not only have drivers, they have handlers. In fact, these terms are very common in the industry. Just at a recent convention, one very famous old male porn star, when I complained about why is so-and-so so wasted and why is no one helping her, he said, "Where's her handler?" Widespread sexually transmitted diseases in the porn industry include, but are not limited to, HPV, herpes, gonorrhea, chlamydia, hepatitis A, B, C, up to G, I've heard, syphilis. And the only thing that the industry does is they rely solely on STD testing, which, come on, let's put the math together, people. After you have multiple sex partners in and out of the biz, you know, those tests become pretty unreliable pretty quickly. Porn workers are only tested for HIV, chlamydia, and gonorrhea. They are not tested for herpes, a non-curable disease. Since, according to Los Angeles Public Health Department, a report released last year, there were 2,396 cases of chlamydia, 1,389 cases of gonorrhea, 25 cases of HIV reported by AIM, the Adult Industry Medical Clinic. This isn't my stats. This is from the mouth of the porn industry. The AIM clinic, offering STD and testing and so-called medical care, is conveniently located in the world's porn capital, San Fernando Valley, where 85% of the world's adult content is produced. AIM is the main caretaker of the porn stars. Dr. Sharon Mitchell, former porn actress and founder of AIM, who walks around in a white lab coat, who is not a medical doctor but received a sexology degree from a non-accredited institute, where required courses are erotic massage, fantasy development, and how to run a sex workshop? Dr. Sharon Mitchell emphatically states, "We keep the adult industry safe." Well, LA Public Health disagrees and has initiated investigations, but is finding it very difficult to work with the mob. Besides widespread sexually transmitted diseases, prostitution, drug addiction, physical and verbal abuse, sadly many died. Just in the last couple of weeks, there were reports of multiple deaths in the porn industry. Two were killed. Two porn stars were injured by a samurai sword on a porn set, and one porn star died after jumping off the cliff in a standoff with the LAPD. No other industry has these kinds of statistics. And this isn't happening underground, people. This is happening right in front of your eyes, right here in America, California, where I'm from. I live an hour and 15 minutes from the porn industry. The truth is, porn is not glamorous. Porn destroys human lives, and it's destroying our nation, but we can change. There's hope. We can heal, and I am living proof of that. I urge you to enforce current federal obscenity laws and protect human lives. The children need you. The young women and men need you. And honestly, I need you. I can't fight this industry by myself. Thank you very much.
And we're back, CKLN listeners. Again, that was Ms. Shelley Lubin, S-H-E-L-L-E-Y-L-U-B-B-E-N, at thepinkcross.org, testifying on Capitol Hill in Washington to a coalition trying to lobby for stronger restrictions on the porn industry. And why is this so? Why is this such a thing for me? You know, what is the deal? Why am I ruining the enjoyment, the masturbatory enjoyment of people? Well, because you're going to kill yourself. You're going to disconnect yourself with the world. You're going to destroy your relationships, your ability to have relationships, your ability to relate with women, and your ability to appreciate women. And if you can't appreciate women, dude, you're screwed. Because that's part of the fun of being a guy here on planet Earth in the 21st century, or at you know, for the last several thousand years, and that's what porn's designed to do. Am I above this? Am I below this? No. But I will say this much: the more I look into this stuff, the less I find porn appealing, and the more I want to expose what it really is, as opposed to what I want it to be. You know, because again, for example, point number six here. This shows you the character of the people in the industry. And this is Jenna Jameson from page 132 of her autobiography, How to Make Love Like a Porn Star, A Cautionary Tale. Most girls get their first experience in gonzo films, in which they're taken to a crappy studio apartment in Mission Hills and penetrated in every hole possible by some abusive a-hole who thinks her name is bitch. And these girls, some of whom have the potential to become major stars in the industry, go home afterward and pledge never to do it again because it was such a terrible experience. On page 325, in a worst case scenario, a gonzo director will take a girl to a hotel room and have their friend shoot a cheap scene in which she is humiliated in every orifice possible. She walks home with $3,000, bowed legs, and a terrible impression of the industry. It'll be her first and last movie, and she'll regret it to her dying days. Another scenario, she'll work for 2 weeks until she's only getting paid $700 a scene, and then finally, no one wants to use her anymore. So she'll agree to do double penetration or drink the sperm of 12 guys just to stay working. And on and on and on and on and on. And yeah, it's a horribly, horribly abusive situation. What you see on the set, I mean, you know, we don't see how normal movies are made. You know, we don't see the makeup and hair person coming over to dab at Tom Cruise's eyebrow or coif Brad Pitt's hair or Angelina Jolie's, fix her makeup. But on a porn set, it's much, much different. And everybody there, after a point, is so jaded that it becomes dangerous. So what's the way out of this? You know, what is the way out of this? Well, you know, I got to say, that the way that these people have found is yet another way that that the New World Order is trying to destroy, and that is God. Now, you may like God, you may not like God, you may not know what the hell you're talking about when it comes to God, like most people don't. But here's the thing. Without God, difficult situations can seem really difficult. So let's give Ms. Lubin a chance to explain what God did for her from the 700 Club from a couple of years ago. She's been fighting the porn industry ever since she left it courageously. Let's see what gave her the strength.
It's like Satan came to me and says, it's almost like I could see the devil say, see, Shelley, everyone will love you now. I'll make you famous.
It's the kind of fame few people imagine.
It's like suddenly the producer went, where did you get this girl from? And so immediately I went from doing maybe an amateur to doing professional adult films with some of the famous porn stars.
Shelley Lubin even won an award for Best New Rising Porn Star. But her claim to fame came with a high price.
It was destroying me. I lost my femininity. I lost any piece of Shelley on the porn set.
The girl from Glendora, California, never thought her life would come to this. As a child, Shelley gave her heart to Jesus Christ and hoped to become a preacher and a writer.
I loved God so much. He used to talk to me all the time when I was little. I used to write poetry about him. I used to walk around and preach the gospel to anyone who would listen. I just really loved him as a little girl.
Shelley's view of love crumbled the day her innocence was stolen.
When I was 9 years old, I was sexually violated by a teenage boy and his sister, which was my classmate. And I think carrying that around as a child, you don't know what to do with that emotionally. And so I was angry because I was curious about sex, and it made me feel love, but at the same time it felt dirty. So I just struggled with so much. By the time I was a teenager, I just acted out.
Shelley buried the pain under sex and drugs. By the time she turned 18, her parents had had enough. She was on her own and desperate for cash, until someone offered her what seemed like easy money.
A nice man walked over to me, and then he put his arm around me. He says, you know, there's a man in the apartment complex who thinks you're real pretty, and he wants to make love with you, and you can make $35. I went, oh, I was horrified. I mean, I'd had sexual intercourse before, but I had never prostituted myself. But then the part of me was like, you know what? I have no food. My parents don't care. God doesn't care. Why not? Because you know what? I don't care about myself anymore. And so I ended up being lured into the sex industry that way.
Prostitution turned into a way of life. She got pregnant by a client, but decided to keep her baby. Over the next several years, Shelley would wrestle with her lifestyle and the relationship she had with God as a child.
I never lost my faith in him, but I felt like I lost my trust in him. I felt like I couldn't trust anyone, and I needed to do what I needed to do. That was how I justified it.
Prostitution lost its allure. Shelley feared being raped or thrown in jail like other women.
And someone says, why don't you do porn? I said, porn? And they said, yeah. I said, I never even thought about that. Who do you talk to? And she goes, yeah, do you know that they pay you like $2,000 for a movie? I said, for one movie? I said, well, how hard can it be? It's probably just like prostitution, only it's legal, and I wouldn't go to jail. So that really appealed to me.
But what Shelley didn't know is the price she would have to pay as a porn star. Her first day on the set, she found out.
Right when I walked in, it's like the satanic, dark anointing just fell on me. It was creepy, it was dark, it was eerie, it was nothing like prostitution. It was like I knew that I was in the devil's territory. This was like the final frontier of Satan. And I just was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm going to do this.
Shelley went through with it, and her career took off. The fame and money became addictive. Behind the scenes, she fell apart.
I didn't think I could walk away from the porn because what other option did I have?
During her darkest moments, Shelley felt God's love reaching out to her, even sensing God's spirit before she would go before the cameras.
He used to come in the room and go, please don't do this. He really did. He said, Shelley, please don't do this. I said, well, you're not taking care of me. What am I supposed to do? And I'm good at this. They love me. They think I'm great. And my parents don't care. And God, you don't care. And Jesus, I care. I bear it on the cross for you. I've already paid for all this. I'll forgive you. And I said, how can you forgive me? I've done so much. I've done so many bad things.
Shelley wasn't ready to surrender her life to the Lord. but she did give up on life as a porn star. She caught a sexually transmitted disease and quietly left the adult film industry. Her next big wake-up call came head-on.
I got in a bad car accident, and my Miata went just like this. Just, I thought for sure, I'm dead. I am going to die like this. I'm going to hell. That was my first thought. I am going to hell. And I landed totally perfect, not a scratch. I said, oh my gosh, God is so talking to me. I can never go back. I'm in big, what am I going to do? You know, and right after that, I met my husband, Garrett.
I was kind of at a low point in my life where I started using drugs. And when I met Shelly, here was this person who kind of, you know, met me where I was at. And we were just best buds. I mean, we were inseparable. And I never pursued Shelly in a sexual way. It was more of a friendship way. Talks of the Lord and Jesus when we were younger started developing into a stronger friendship and ultimately realizing that, hey, this thing is going in a whole different direction.
The man who became her best friend soon became her husband. Together, Shelley and Garrett turned back to Jesus, and he helped them clean up their lives.
I really started looking at God as a father, not some meek God up in the sky with a scepter saying, you know, follow the rules or you're in big trouble. God became a father to me.
God miraculously healed her incurable sexually transmitted disease, but her emotional recovery took much longer. She struggled to learn how to be a wife and mother to her three girls. She searched the Bible for answers.
I had to forgive everybody because I blamed everybody for everything. And so God taught me about forgiveness because, see, he forgave me. How can I not?
Shelley has also forgiven herself, and she's put the past behind her for good.
When you practice God's principles on purpose, they become part of your nature. It is part of my nature to do 2 Corinthians 10:5. It's just part of my nature to cast down any negative thoughts. It took me years to practice that because you can imagine I had a lot of thoughts that I had to cast down. Satan was like, here's a movie, here's a movie, here's a scene, here's a scene. Remember when you did prostitution? It was overwhelming during recovery, and so I had to choose God's word.
Shelley shares the freedom she found in Christ with her daughters and the world.
God says to me, that's right. Not one ounce of your pain will be wasted. I work all things together for good, Shelley. Jesus is faithful to me in everything. He is so faithful.
And we're back, CKLN listeners. That was, again, Shelley Lubin on the 700 Club from a couple of years ago. And it's amazing. I was looking for some clips of interviews with Shelley Lubin or other porn stars. Bunch of stuff on YouTube. A whole bunch have come out. And so you can search more there. But there's a ton of research in this area, and there's a ton of first-hand testimony out there that's crucially important. But keep in mind, the attacks on God right now and religion, are orchestrated by the New World Order, by the establishment, because once they kill God, then they can tell you to do whatever the hell they want. If you're at Guantanamo Bay, and your boss says, hey, I want you to torture that guy for 5 years. Then you can't say, I can't do that. You know, God wouldn't like it. They would, you just say, okay, yes, boss. And that's what happens in communist systems. And we're heading closer towards that. And one of the things I found amazing is the absolute lack of interest in this area by most traditional activist organizations, most traditional religious organizations, most traditional anti-New World Order organizations, and it's shocking to me because it's such a huge part of our culture. It's such a huge driver in our culture, it's important here. And in the clip from the Tyra Banks show I was going to play here, which has some annotations, there's a 14-year-old girl who basically got into it because she was bored and she didn't have much money. And she had trouble getting, you know, a regular job. And so, she got on some chat lines. And, you know, she, you know, started talking on the chat lines. Found out about the discreet meeting sort of thing. And would meet guys and for $150 would, you know, get picked up by them, drive somewhere and have a, you know, have sex with them in a car. And, sometimes she told them. First, she said she was 19. She had a baby face, but she said she was 19. Later, she told a couple of her clients that she was, you know, 14, 15 years old. And they were a little surprised, but they still came back for the sex. Because, again, when you objectify sex itself like that, then you know, that becomes reasonable to many people out there. And there's so many examples out there that you can find. And on the Guantanamo thing, just here at the Toronto Sun, at the TorontoSun.com, I caught this article on I guess it's been updated for today, but I caught this article yesterday here. Extreme Makeover Gitmo Edition. New motto: safe, human, legal, transparent. By David Akin, Parliamentary Bureau Chief. And they basically say that, well, here it is. There is a foosball game in Guantanamo Bay's Camp 4 detention center that many of the terrorist suspects who are locked up here find offensive. Oh, man. They cherry pick all sorts of nonsense to throw at us we got to keep this war on terror nonsense going. Tip: if it wasn't the game itself, indeed playing foosball, a tabletop soccer game, or playing soccer itself is one of the most popular activities at Camp 4, the facility that houses Canadian terrorist suspect Omar Khadr. Instead, what annoyed the inmates were the faces of the foosball players. The players were too Western-looking, or in some accounts, they offended some fundamentalist Islamists because of their association with idol worship, so the U.S. military filed off the faces so that the terror suspects wouldn't be offended. The story is told by U.S. military guards to journalists who tour the prison facilities here. The military's PR people are trying to turn the narrative here from one of torture and abuse to their new motto: safe, humane, legal, and transparent. And the foosball story is part of that narrative. And it goes on, human rights campaigners say that motto is still a debatable point, but when QMI agency toured Gitmo prisons earlier this week, the military narrative was reinforced time and time again. And that's how it works, folks. Repetition, repetition, repetition. That's how propaganda works, and that's how the propaganda around pornography has worked as well. So it's good to keep that in mind when you're out there and when you're encountering this sort of thing. I just, here on thepinkcross.org, Pink Cross outreach to porn stars and porn fans at Exotica LA. There's a clip there where Shelley Lubin goes on stage, and this was, again, just posted on the 14th of July, so just 5 days ago, and so this was fairly recently. She gets up on stage, and she calls out the porn industry at a giant porn convention. So this chick has eggs. And someone came up to her and kind of, you know, tried to semi-shush her, but she said her piece, and then she left the stage, and they even had a booth there. And they've had a booth at the last few of these, as the industry knows that it's best to try and make peace with a force like Shelley Lubin at thepinkcross.org than it is to try and exclude her and maybe clue a lot of the girls in a different way as to where they can go for a bit more advice on this area. And the Extreme Makeover Gitmo Edition. Again, you know, this is the Pentagon saying, hey, you guys watch a lot of TV, right? You guys like Extreme Makeover, right? Oh, yeah, I'd love for them to come over and fix my face or fix my house or fix my car. That'd be awesome. And so they use these terms to kind of legitimize Guantanamo Bay. Amazing, amazing stuff. And on and on. But why is this so important? Why is this so important? Because this fundamentally affects how we relate to each other. This fundamentally affects why men don't feel like manning up for women in this culture. Why women feel like, you know, why women are essentially being raised and trained for this. And if you add this in with things like the Franklin cover-up, the Franklin scandal, exposed by Senator John DeCamp and lawyer John DeCamp, among others, that reveal that there are international pedophile, sex trafficking, satanic cults who run the world at the highest levels. even exposed in a June 1989 article in the Washington Times, a mainstream newspaper, as reaching all the way up to the White House. You can see, you know, what they're trying to do, how they're trying to export their culture into ours, how they're trying to change our culture. And when I see posters for the Torture Garden here in Toronto with a topless woman, you know, staring at me with a giant torture garden thing over her head, it's just like, wow, you know, I know you're getting paid for this, but should you be? And should we have a culture where that's encouraged? And so these are things, you know, worth considering, looking into. So that was porn, folks. Hopefully you're cool with that. Got a couple more things to break down for you, before, Mr. David James takes you, for a 4-hour jazz experience. You will not forget. So stick around here on CKLN 88.1 FM. This is your host, BK, aka Black Krishna. You can hear the shows here on CKLN 88.1 FM, CKLN.FM online, and Rogers Cable Box 947. You also find my shows at archive.org, search for Black Krishna, or radio4all.net, radio the number 4all.net, or you can go to blackkrishna.blogspot.com or Google Black Krishna, and you'll be able to find my blog, where I do post links to the show as well as many more annotations. I know I'm only scratching the surface here, but I am trying to sort of repeat kind of catchy things on the show that maybe you can repeat to quickly beat the BS out there, as opposed to mind-bombing you with statistics or anything like that, which I don't see a point in. And this is a topic that I'm not going to ignore, that I'm not going to back off on, neither this topic nor the idea that we need to do something about all of these things. We need to talk about all of these issues. We need to share information about our health risks. And one of the reasons we need to do that is the Obama deception was censored and illegally pulled from YouTube right after Alex Jones had a bit of a thing on Friday of last week, where he encouraged all of his listeners to type the Obama deception and Endgame into Google Video and or Google and Yahoo and other search engines, as well as click on the link to drive it up to number one in the trend, so it beats the LeBron James, the Miley Cyrus, the, you know, whatever the hell's there. And in fact, they succeeded in doing that. Here on July 16, 2010, the Obama deception was number one, and then there was a bunch of the other, you know, mainstream nonsense after that. So the main copy of the Obama deception on the YouTube changed channel was removed with over 6.5 million views. Not only that, but a WordPress account, which was here. And again, this is the federal government under the Obama administration flexing their new internet censorship regulation. It says here from Kurt Nimmo, Infowars.com, once again, the Obama administration has violated the Bill of Rights. Earlier this month, the feds took down a free WordPress blogging platform and disabled more than 73,000 blogs. The action was completely ignored by the corporate media. The site Blogatree.com was told by its hosting services that the government had issued orders to shut down the site due to, quote, a history of abuse related to copyrighted material. And so they took down 73,000 blogs off WordPress. And there are various internet sites like the Internet Electronic Frontier Foundation filing lawsuits to try and battle this. So the New World Order is coming for us hard on a number of levels, through our socialization with the introduction of pornography, the selling of sex everywhere, the semi-prostitution of our kids. And there's girls out there that are dressing to show it. And then if you look at them, they get freaked out. And so they're put in kind of an awkward bind because they're in a vulnerable position anyway, especially with respect to being a female and having males stare at them, males who are larger, who are more aggressive. Jenna Jameson, in another quote from her book, talks about how a delivery guy who she'd seen before delivering food, one day had a crazy look on his face when he dropped by with her food and said, "I saw you naked. You know what we're going to do?" And he started, you know, had this crazy look on his face, and she just started screaming her head off. Until he ran out of her apartment, and then she lay semi-comatose in a corner on her couch for a while. So the vulnerability associated with sex is played up in porn. Very, very dangerous out there, and it's, it's spreading. Obama deception censorship draws major response. There are a ton of Alex Jones listeners and others freaking out over this, and going even crazier in the InfoWar, as we all can. Finally, another article here. Canadian study brings new hope against HIV. And I'm looking at a stone-cold killer here, Dr. Julio Montana, staring at me in a picture from thestar.com, the same one I saw yesterday in looking into this article, because there was a 2010 AIDS conference out there, and despite the fact that I'm against porn, and I just want it cleaned up. Look, if we had erotica, if we had just sort of normal porn, and there wasn't a huge, you know, New World Order-controlled psychopathic industry at the heart of all this that just corrupts the whole thing, I wouldn't care. I really wouldn't care. But the fact is that you know, it isn't what it's sold to be, and therefore it confuses people that either watch it and aren't aware of, you know, the process. You know, it's kind of like, how's your chicken McNugget made? If you knew that, you might not eat them. It's the exact same thing with porn. And with respect to AIDS, I did an interview with David Crowe, so Google Black Krishna and David, C-R-O-W-E, about 3 years ago, and I've done research since, and there's still, you know, doctors, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of doctors and scientists, who state the claim that AIDS is in fact fake. There is no HIV virus. There are about 65 different things that they can find in your bloodstream and say, oh, it's probably there because the AIDS virus is there, so you probably have AIDS, depending on how you score on this test, and all the tests are different in different countries. And there's a reason we haven't seen AIDS, even though it's been a super infectious, sexually transmitted disease for the last 25 years. If it worked the way they said it did, we should each know 5 people with AIDS. We should. We just should. In our culture, we obviously should. But they're selling that again hard. They want you to go get a test. They want you to get on the drugs. And it's the drugs, like AZT, that killed a ton of gay guys, gay men in the 80s, because it was toxic and was banned for use on testing in animals in the 60s because it was toxic. But they brought it back to give people the symptoms they said were associated with AIDS. And then justify the whole AIDS myth. So, again, Google Black Krishna and David, C-R-O-W-E, for that. Or go to aliveandwell.org for the latest research into this area, among many other great sites out there. That's the reason the InfoWars is so important, folks. People have done great work on this here. People with peers, persistence, passion, and proof have been putting out the truth for very little or no money for years now, to challenge the major ideas in our culture that are destructive. And if we share those ideas, then we'll have a shot. And not just talking about them, but, you know, sharing a website link. Share the Obama deception and share Endgame. Find those copies. So you get one political scandal of a recent note based on a figure sold by the corporate media for a couple of years, and then the other for the big story about eugenics and how these people actually want to kill all of us. And when you're in a kill or be killed situation like we are, it's no surprise that you know, nothing's off the table when it comes to breaking it down and finding a way out of it. And so more than oh, isn't it interesting how they're screwing us today? Isn't it interesting how the New World Order is doing all this horrible stuff? Instead of that sort of approach, let's find out what we can find that appeals to the most people. The most people out there, what are they struggling with? Economic issues, relationship issues, self-worth issues, all engineered by the neo-communist culture the New World Order is creating here, and all hidden by the majority of activist groups out there working on these issues. So if you're an average person out there who just cares about your life and the lives of your families and friends and other people in your city, then it's worth looking into these things. So anyway, but that's enough for me, folks. I'm out of here. Going to name check a couple of websites. Infowars.com for more on the internet censorship. It's hitting us hard and heavy these days, so definitely worth getting out there. Got to switch to hand-to-hand combat. Posters, flyers, burning DVDs, and so on, which we can do and which people do appreciate. I have first-hand knowledge of that, first-hand proof of that, and I will walk around and get people on camera saying this if you don't believe me and say, hey, see that poster I just put up over there that said Montreal and Vancouver don't use fluoride? Do they know something we should? Fluoridealert.org. What do you think? And say, oh, I think it's a good idea. I'm glad people do that stuff because that's the vibe I'm getting. So fear not. Fear not out there, you know, spreading information in the info war. Don't just store info like nuts in the winter, like a squirrel stores nuts in the winter, because it'll just end up shrinking your nuts, because it'll just end up weighing you down, and your habitualizing of a non-response to it is not good for you or anyone else. Naturalnews.com for great natural news. Trendsresearch.com for great wealth news. VigilantCitizen.com for how our industry is controlled by celebrities are controlled by the New World Order and many, many more. On the local tip, press4truth.ca, torontotruthseekers.com, conspiracyculture.com, great book and DVD store, torontostreetnews.com, where the publisher and editor, Victor Fletcher, will be my guest on Word of Mouth Mondays this evening at 7 o'clock, from 7 to 8 p.m., since I now host that show as well. Should be a lot of fun. I'm out of there, folks. I had a full head of steam coming in here this morning. Hopefully I did a decent job. About 18 more clips I wanted to play on this issue, so I might, you know, weave them in through the week. But enough for me. This is Prostitute by the new Guns N' Roses with Axl Rose, where, you know, he talks about, you know, what do we all do? You know, what should we do? And how do we prostitute ourselves when it comes to these issues? And how can we not? Peace out, everybody.